I say go for it.
Here to serve.
And here he did.
Oh, she's back.
Hello, everyone.
She's back.
I'm back. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the Daily Edition. Thanks to Kimberly Adams for stepping in on what felt like a really long week and yet not long enough. And ready or not.
Oh, man.
Wowzer.
How was it? Did you unplug? Were you detached,
I did,
as it were?
Yeah. I actually was like in such a rush to get out the door because, of course, I managed to do no packing until like Sunday night that I forgot to bring a laptop. And which was great, which was genius. Good job, me. And then just made it, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty disciplined about Twitter. I think I looked one day and then I was like, no. And the theme of my little pod, the theme that my little pod adopted for the whole week was no truth, only food.
There you go.
It's just like, nope, we don't want to know anything about the news or the real world. We're just going to come up with elaborate brunches. Play in the sun, and then have an elaborate dinner.
You were like camping or something, right?
No, we rented a cabin in Tahoe.
Okay. All right,
and just like brought it was like zero footprint or something. We brought like all our food up, and
good for you.
Went to the lake. Yeah, it was really like it's weird to shake the guilt of leaving the house.
Yep.
It took probably a day to get over that part of it. Right, just like, are they mad that we're here? What should we do? Should we order pizza? Though we can support the local economy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing. And nobody, there's the new unspoken rule of when you go somewhere, you don't post any photos on social media because you don't want to be like that person.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Sarah Fryer wrote an article about it. And I was like, exactly. It's so weird how in Northern California, it's so weird how in some states we're like, I feel like I'm breaking the rules by leaving, even though it is clearly legal and this place is listed on Airbnb or whatever. And then other places they're like, what? I'm at a bar.
Yeah. With 1,000 of my closest friends. And anyway, whatever.
Exactly. Anyway, it was lovely. It was beautiful and lovely, and I highly recommend it.
All right. You're back. You've got three. You're going to tell me they're all the same thing, though, so go ahead.
They are all the same thing.
I know.
Except this one link at the bottom that's related to your thing. I would like to talk about the post office. This is a thing that happened last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out 91% of Americans also love the post office. According to a YouGov poll. However, one of the people who does not love the post office is the president, as we know.
Yes.
He has attacked the post office specifically many, many, many times since he took office. He thinks the rates are too low. He thinks it's basically like cover for Amazon. And as we know, he also really opposes voting by mail. And so... it is of note that on June 15th, a new postmaster general took over, Louis DeJoy, a major donor to President Trump. He is, I think, as with so many like appointments lately, he's like the only one in history or in decades, rather, who has no experience as a letter carrier. He had done some work with the Postal Service as a contractor. However, he and his wife... own between $30 million and $75 million in assets in Postal Service competitors or contractors.
I didn't know that. Oh man.
Yeah. I actually I totally did my research for today's show. It doesn't always happen.
For you.
But today I was like, I'm doing this post office story, by God. it's like a spot. It's like a marketplace spot. I have 90 seconds to get this thing out the door. And then last week around, I believe July 15th, the Associated Press got its hands on an internal memo that Louis DeJoy has sent out to workers at the post office of the USPS. Basically cost cutting, trying to return the USPS to some version of profitability, treat it more like a business than a public service. Or as some people call it, a democratic institution, because the post office is, you know, it's the backbone of America. It's how you get your e-commerce.
It's in the Constitution.
It is probably more crucial than ever right now when so many people are at home. But the cost-cutting efforts talk about they eliminate overtime for hundreds of thousands of postal workers. They say that late trips will no longer be authorized. So if the distribution centers are running late, they'll just slow down the mail. They'll just delay it.
Hmm.
And that the goal is to make the USPS fundamentally solvent. Now, obviously, like the postal worker unions have come out and said, guys, we really, really have to protect the Postal Service because, again, it's in the Constitution. And also, and at roughly the same time, Senate Democrats, as of July 17th, sent a letter urging the Postal Service to explain how, especially as it is attempting to sort of like gut its own mm-hmm. services, how it plans to handle the influx of ballots it is expected to field as millions of people vote by mail this fall.
And
this is the whole ball game, you guys.
Yeah, it is the whole ball.
The whole ball
game. Exactly right.
And not for nothing, the president was interviewed on Fox News Sunday by Chris Wallace. I'm sure if you were on Twitter, you saw something about it.
Yeah.
And said, I think that if there is voter mail or mail voting by mail, there will be massive fraud, and I will not commit to accepting the results of the election.
So.
You have a bucket of facts to choose from, friends. You decide how you want to arrange this Jenga tower, but I'm here to say, USPS, it's the whole ballgame. It's not getting a lot of attention. It's the whole ballgame.
You know what's getting a lot of attention, but people on Twitter are saying it's not getting enough attention?
Yeah, what is that?
Unmarked van thing in Portland. Now the unmarked van, unmarked officer thing going to Chicago, it is being reported in the Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
Also apparently going to Oakland in the Bay Area, the president or his chief of staff said today, other cities. So first of all, it is being reported. So people on Twitter say it's not being reported, it's being reported. But second of all, this is like right up there with messing with the election by messing with the post office. We talked about this on Friday, Reema and I did, and I kind of can't let this one go because it's just so bad. This idea of unmarked vans and unmarked officers taking people off the streets, exercising their First Amendment rights, the whole deal, it is so deeply troubling to me. So troubling.
It is. So, I heard that Friday show and I was really glad you talked about it, and I'm really glad you're talking about it today because it is, in fact, expanding. It is expanding. Yeah. This effort to just override, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you hear about it last week and you're like, wow, people are going to freak out about that. Yep. They're probably going to stop. And in fact, there has been a doubling down.
Yeah. Yeah.
There have been statements we don't care what the states want. Like they're totally in charge of their own COVID response. We're not going to help them with that. But we don't care what the states want. We're coming in.
I'm sure you saw the video online. Most people listening to this podcast, and you I'm sure did, of that guy getting just wailed upon by some of those unmarked officers. Turns out he was a Naval Academy guy, class of 88, whatever, big, you know, 6'2" dude, and this guy just beating him up. Apparently, all he did was go over and say, I don't think you're upholding your constitutional oaths, and they beat the snot out of him, broke his hand and all this jazz. But it's indicative of the attitude of the federal government toward citizen complaints like this, that all five of those men standing around still have their jobs. We don't know who they are, and they're still on the job.
Yeah.
You know? It's craziness.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
Guys, it's really, like, I mean, words can't even express how bad it is. That guy, actually, he was quoted in this great story in the Times.
Yeah,
Chris, I can't remember his last name because John Ismay wrote, and the quote that he gave, I just retweeted just that quote because it was so appropriate. He said, "Every organization reflects the nature of its leader. There are some leaders in that organization who have become seriously lost. I see it as a breakdown of leadership on a very fundamental level."
Yep.
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 Nancy Pelosi, by the way, is tweeting, or was earlier, was a couple days ago, calling them stormtroopers, saying this is, you know, these are the actions of a banana republic, not the government of the United States. And I cannot disagree. I cannot disagree, especially thinking that they might be headed, you know, I mean, this shouldn't be happening in any American city. The fact that it's happening in notably liberal and multicultural cities that the president has repeatedly attacked as being like a mess or hell. By the way, my friends want to start a little Hella Love Oakland, just having a little fun in Hella Love in Oakland, because that's what we say about Oakland. They're like, let's just start posting photos of ourselves like having an awesome time in our awesome city.
Yeah.
Just another day in hashtag Hella Love Oakland.
So Reema and I were talking about this on Friday, as I said, and we got around to the why Portland? And I was like, well, it's kind of out of the way. It's not a high profile city. It's up in the Northwest there somewhere, whatever. And I and maybe they're just testing it out. And I think that's clearly what has happened, right? They tested it out. Some portion of Americans were outraged. A larger portion of Americans went, eh, whatever. And now it's going to Chicago and other big cities. And I think it's that's clearly what it was.
Because the pushback was not strong enough. Because look, I mean, we've talked about this before. There's a well-known playbook for wearing down a populace. And it's with a fire hose of outrage. I mean, I read this. There was like a, you know, came by on Twitter. I think Charles Blow had a piece in the New York Times called Where is the Outrage? And I was just like, dude, like who is not outraged? But how do you even choose? And that's the point.
Right.
And I think this probably didn't.
For sure.
You know, this this got some attention. Maybe it didn't get all the attention. Maybe that, you know, it's like it's hard to even know where to start. But yeah, when you look at, if you look at factors that legitimately undermine democracy, undermining the right to vote and trampling the constitutional rights of protesters peacefully exercising their First Amendment, those are big ones.
Do you ever get the feeling that we're just screaming into the wind here? Okay. All right. Time for a mood.
Wow, shoot. That really did.
Happy
Dang
Monday.
It.
Welcome back, Molly Wood.
Molly weeping.
Welcome
drink.
Back. Good grief. Who's in charge down there? Somebody hit that button.
Can we smile now?
There we
help,
go.
Help, help, help.
There we go. All right. What is yours?
I do technically have two things because we have the wonderful. Well, it kind of has to go in there. I'm trying to find where is it? It's Winsome. Win. Hold on. I'm trying to find our guy who made this incredible drinking game for us. The Marketplace.
Oh, my goodness.
The Make Me Smart with Kai and Molly drinking game.
Oh, good for
Jason
you.
Jason Schneider.
Good for you for thinking of that. Yes.
Yeah. Fans of Marketplace, Make Me Smart. I made a drinking game you can play. And then he has an asterisk and says, I suggest you play it on the Friday Economics on Tap show and consume responsibly. A drinking game you can play while listening to the podcast. Take a sip of your favorite beverage every time. I'll just give a brief sampling. You hear Kai or Molly say any of the following. History matters. Ottumwa, Iowa. The stock market is not the economy. For sure. That one's me. Mexicoke. To be fair, bananas. And in brackets, Molly weeping.
I love that. I saw that goodbye on Twitter today. I was like, oh my God.
Which our Slack agrees is like a little bit dark. Like Molly's weeping, drink again. But honestly, it is that common. So you might as well. You might as well.
Yes.
You will find a link to that on the show notes. He posted it in the Make Me Smart Facebook group. It is genius. It made my entire day. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And for those of you who are just dying for a dang haircut, if you're in California, know that Governor Gavin Newsom released new guidelines for barbershops and hair salons to operate outdoors on Monday.
Oh, interesting.
You can get an outside haircut.
I have a 19-year-old living upstairs who has not gotten a haircut in 5 months, and believe me when I tell you, he's a little shaggy. He's driving his mom nuts.
Exactly.
And he's like, "Yeah, I don't care. I'm not doing it. I'm not. You are not coming."
Outdoor haircuts.
All right. Yeah. Whatever.
Put your masks on.
What?
Hang out on the back deck. Get your haircut.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty.
It's going to be appreciated by many. I think.
By many, yes, yes. I wonder how Justin Trudeau is looking these days.
Has he got a haircut? I wonder too. He's just owning. I know. It's like. Will America get a haircut when Justin Trudeau gets a haircut?
That, right? Right? Except we can't.
Is it weird that I want to look it up right now while you're talking?
Go ahead. You look it up. I'll do my baseball thing and then we'll come back for this one. So mine is just a nice little Benny for Dr. Anthony Fauci, the kind and gentle and republic saving grandpa to us all. Big baseball fan. The Washington Nationals announced that he's going to throw out the first pitch on opening day, Thursday, 23rd July. At stadium in Washington, and I just think that's a nice thing for him, provided he wears a mask and, you know, is all that, you know, responsible kind of stuff. Man's 80 years old.
Pretty sure he is gonna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's true. That's true.
You should know that when you type Justin Trudeau into the Goog, because I put it in Google News, you guys, not DuckDuckGo, because I want something recent. It it auto completes hair.
Oh no! Come on, really? Oh, that's too good.
Yep,
I love that
auto complete.
And
but it doesn't. No, there's nothing since June. Hold on, I'm gonna do an image search. Yeah, it's unclear. All we have no updates at this moment.
We will research further and update you tomorrow on this critical, critical issue, Justin Trudeau's hair. I'm telling you.
It's the key, really. You.
And with that, we are out of here. Come on, I'm a big Justin fan. I think I copped this one a while ago.
I mean, same. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
We're done on a Monday. We're a little down.
We're done.
A little up. Nothing like a little Justin Trudeau.
Oh, thank goodness. That's how the show works, man. We plumb the depths and we claw our way back out.
Goodness gracious.
All right.
Jennifer Pack is
here
tomorrow. We're talking China, the U.S., and what is going on with that relationship. I will just give you the TLDR right here. It's a mess. It's a big, fat, hairy economic mess. In the meanwhile, questions, comments, make me smart at marketplace.org. Hit us up. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. She's really good, too.
She's so great.
Super smart. Yeah.
And just so happens there was a whole blow-up today on Twitter between Mark Cuban and Ted Cruz about China.
Oh, I know.
Make me smart. Yeah. And then there was that BBC guy who was interviewing the diplomat about the drone footage of the Uyghurs. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm into it, turns out. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Way to sell me on the show. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. Thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips, who writes our newsletter.
Drew Jostat was in charge down in the studios downtown. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand and the senior producer of this podcast this week, next week probably as well, I don't even know, is Tar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager for the Nonce is Deborah Clark. A little old English I threw in there. Everybody like
for
that?
I know. Very fancy.
For the Nonce. That's me.
It's kind of sly, too. People have to Google it to figure out what you're saying. Smooth.
I know, right?